The Senate just failed to pass climate change legislation with money to relocate coastal villages in Alaska that are slipping into the sea. Erosion, melting permafrost, and flooding threaten more than 100 Native communities. Elizabeth Arnold takes a look at two of the most vulnerable.
Crammed in a tiny plane with Pampers, Pepsi, and mail, we fly above a flat landscape that's more water than land. We're 100 miles north of the Arctic Circle. It's hard to believe that people could live in such a remote place, but they do. We land on a strip of gravel surrounded by sandbags and water. This is Kivalina, a barrier island that's no longer a barrier. It's a sliver of sand, home to a few hundred Inupiaq Eskimos. Nobody chose to live here. The once nomadic people were told they'd lose their children unless they settled permanently. 75-year-old Lucy Adams remembers the 200-mile trip, the first leg, by dog sled.
And then in July, we take off with skin boats from Point Hope to Kivalina because we were not in school as children.
The Bureau of Indian Affairs put schools in places that were barge accessible, sand spits like Kivalina, that's now in some places less than 50 yards across.
At that time, the village was real wide. It was real wide. And on the beach, because the sand is so far down to the ocean, they would set up tent. But now there's no room for that even, nothing. And when it gets rough, it's real scary.
For decades, the pack ice protected Kivalina from the wind and waves of storms. But in recent years, the ice goes out early and forms late. There's open water, no buffer. 150 feet of beach disappeared in a single year. There are no cars in Kivalina. Fuel is precious, delivered once a year at more than $5 a gallon. The irony isn't lost on the people here that they emit the least amount of greenhouse gases and yet are the first to be directly affected. Enoch Adams is Lucy's son. He's out today taking pictures of the most recent damage. Attempts to shore up the beach have failed. Sandbags are scattered and ripped open everywhere. The power plant and school are dangerously close to the edge. Adams says the weather has changed everything.
Our springs are warmer earlier. Fall is later. Winters are later. Winters are warmer. We're feeling the effects of it by all this erosion.
The Kivalina Tribal Council is trying to help the village relocate to higher ground, but cost estimates range from several to hundreds of millions of dollars. Colleen Swan is the tribal administrator.
We have to rely on the government to help us. We have to rely on FEMA. You know, there has to be a disaster. And we are not going to sit and wait for a disaster to happen. We need to get off this island.
Inupiaq are not a litigious people, but in this case, they've turned to the courts, filing suit against ExxonMobil and 23 other energy companies, alleging they knowingly contributed to climate change.
It was our last resort. Desperation.
The Corps of Engineers estimates 184 villages out here are at risk from flooding and erosion, and that Kivalina and two others, Shishmaref and Nutak, will be gone within 10 years. There is another option, what's dryly termed co-location, simply moving people into larger cities. That idea, however, ignores the importance of a thousand-year-old culture, closely knit villages, and a people whose identity is firmly rooted to the land. Enoch Adams has this response.
Well, how about I move into your house? I mean, that's the kind of thing they're asking us to do.
Deborah Williams, a former Interior Department official, heads up Alaska Conservation Solutions, a nonprofit devoted to climate change.
The plight of the people of Nutak, Kivalina, and Shishmaref underscore two phenomena associated with global warming. The least equipped to address the consequences of global warming are the people first victimized, and secondly, that global warming consequences are extraordinarily expensive.
Sally Russell Cox is a planner for the state's Division of Community and Regional Affairs. She says government just isn't ready.
There's no lead agency for village relocation per se, no. So, yeah, we're all kind of doing this by the seat of our pants and trying to improvise the best we can.
Cox has been closely involved with another threatened village, Nutak, a small Yupik community a few hundred miles south of Kivalina on the edge of the Bering Sea. A string of rickety boardwalks rising and falling links this village and is the only dry ground where kids can play. Like Kivalina, Nutak is eroding and flooding, but because it's built on permafrost that is no longer permanent, it's also sinking. Sewage leaks into the only source of drinking water. Stanley Tom, the village leader, is watching as his community slowly disappears.
You see that house over there with the styrofoam? It's tilting. We can't do nothing. It's already too late because foundation is under the ground and we can't do nothing about it.
Storms have wiped out the barge landing and garbage dump. Trash and human waste float where people hunt geese and butcher seals. But Stanley Tom and others here have taken matters into their own hands. The village has worked relentlessly for more than 10 years pursuing a land swap with the Fish and Wildlife Service and acquired a new village site on higher ground 6 miles away. One small grant at a time, they've found funding for wind generators, a water treatment plant, a boat ramp. Tom looks across the water at the site, a high bluff that'll be called Muktarvik, which means getting water from the spring. He smiles just thinking about it.
Yeah, it'll be nice. And these other villages, they can look at our relocation layout, and if they like, let them go for it.
But it's not that simple. Other villages have no high ground nearby or no land to swap. And despite Nutak's tenacity, relocation is still many years away. Time is running out. When I ask how long it'll take, Tom's face changes. He looks at the American flag above the tiny post office, a wooden shack that's sinking in the muck, and wonders aloud why no one seems to care.
We're United States citizens, we're the taxpayers, we have military that serve the Iraq war, so we're part of the United States. If we're being wiped out, you know, who's going to replace us?
For NPR News, I'm Elizabeth Arnold.